The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
We're going to be talking plenty of Michigan State today. Rod Beard from the Detroit News covers Michigan will be on with us at 10 o'clock. Joe Rexroad from the Lansing State Journal will be on at 10:30. And we're talking plenty of Michigan State in this first hour. Rexroad actually had a very interesting article that we will talk about with him, talking about whether Kalen Lucas should have his jersey retired or not. And I thought it was a very interesting argument, Scott, because when you think about it at first, you go, well, I don't know if he does or not, but then you really look back at it. And the guy's had two Final Fours, Big Ten Player of the Year. He's been the focal point of the team for basically three of the 4 years that he's been there. And then on top of it, the year that he didn't go to the Final Four, they went to the Sweet 16. So I think that you can definitely make an argument that possibly Kalen Lucas should have his jersey retired.
And we'll get into this more, but
yeah, I was just bringing it up to say that we should talk to him.
The one point I have, and the main question for him that I have, is who goes in first, Charlie Bell or Kalen Lucas?
I think Kalen Lucas. You know, I like Charlie Bell, and I thought Charlie Bell was important to that team, but Charlie Bell was never the main part of those Michigan State teams. When I think of a team that should, when I think of players that should retire their jerseys, okay, you usually only get one or two in a generation that do it. It's very rare that you've got two or three. You know, you've got to draw the line somewhere. You have to. And so I think Mateen Cleaves getting his jersey was obviously right because he was such an icon for the team. But I think Kalen Lucas meant more to his teams than Charlie Bell did to his teams. That would be my argument to that. But let's get back to this Michigan State game. And you were telling me before we went on the air today that something really bothers you about this game, and I don't want to give away your comment about it. I just want you to go into it and just share with the listeners what you were saying about the game beforehand.
Well, it's a big game. Let's not downplay that. It's big. It counts for a lot. Last game of the season, Michigan can sweep, just like you said. But let's be serious. These teams really, in any other year, in the last 5 years, neither one would be in the NCAA tournament. Both these teams have had, well, they haven't had great seasons. I mean, Michigan's had a much better season than we expected. Michigan State, the opposite. But neither one of these teams is great. And it's not, and I look at big-time matchups, big-time rivalry, the game means everything. This game means a lot, but it's to barely sneak into the NCAA tournament. It's not to win the Big Ten. It's not to fight for a one or two seed. It's to hopefully get into the play-in game or maybe a little higher than that to an 11 seed.
Like I was saying in the first segment, I think this game is a little bit more important to Michigan than Michigan State because this is the type of wins that you build programs on. Okay, this is not a gap closer game. Okay, if Michigan State loses this game, it's not a huge deal for them from a gap closing point of view. But to Michigan, in a season where people thought they were going to be way below 500, okay, I heard plenty of people that gave them no chance to be any better than Iowa or Indiana. And for them to get an NCAA tournament berth would be a fantastic achievement in my mind. And like I said earlier in the year, I like watching this team play, okay? They play the way I wish Michigan State had played the whole year, which is going hard at it for 40 minutes, and even though you don't have as much talent as other teams do, you go hard and you stay in the games. I've liked watching the way that they play this year. I think Beilein's done an excellent job. And I think the way they've played, if they beat Michigan State, they are more deserving of Michigan State of going in. Now, I think from a politics standpoint, I think Michigan State at 17-13 still gets in over Michigan and still gets a higher seed than Michigan, even if they lose this game. So this is important to Michigan so they can get into the tournament, not so they can be better than Michigan State.
Yes, exactly. It hasn't really changed too much since we came to the realization, what, 3-4 weeks ago, that Michigan State wasn't dead. In fact, they had a very, very good chance to be one of the 65 or 63 through 68, those last few teams in. And it wasn't until kind of recently where Michigan, I know when we had Jerry Palm on, before they had lost to Wisconsin, he had them as their as his last team in, playing Richmond in a play-in game.
Yep.
And they've hovered right near there. That win against Wisconsin, and they move up to, like what I said, the 10-11 seed. They move ahead of that play-in game. But still, right now, and this goes back, we were planning on having a bubble watch segment for like every other week, starting back in January of, here's the teams that we think are going to be in. We haven't done it because it's not interesting.
It's not interesting.
The bubble watch is, here are the teams that are going to be in. And there's nobody else.
And you're already seeing the impact of what this 68 teams does to things, okay? Because you are at a point now where teams, either they're good enough to get in or they're not, okay? There's no debate over things. And in fact, it's getting to the point now where teams that don't deserve to get in or teams that we should be saying, I don't think they should get into this tournament, are firmly in the tournament, okay? I look at bracketology where Joe Lunardi is usually spot on, okay? I think he's not spot on this year, but usually spot on. He's got Michigan State as a 10 seed. Michigan State is 17-12 right now, 9-8 in the conference, okay? And they have wins over Minnesota, Illinois, and Wisconsin. That's their big wins at 17-12. That should be a major bubble team, but he's got them firmly in as a 10 seed. And he's got Michigan, a team that, no offense to Michigan, if they don't beat Michigan State, okay, we're not having this conversation because wins, three quality wins on the entire year. Michigan State, Minnesota, Clemson. That Minnesota game is quickly becoming a not quality win, the same way Washington is quickly becoming not a quality win for Michigan State. So now you're looking at Michigan State and Clemson as your only quality wins when you're 18-12, 18-13, somewhere in that area, and they are in the play-in game. And so that just shows me that, yeah, when March Madness starts and we have those 12 seeds playing each other to get into the game, it might be more exciting. But what the NCAA has done now is made the regular season almost irrelevant, Scott. Like, very close to irrelevant, other than teams playing at the top for a one seed.
Even that's not relevant this year. I mean, I agree with you completely. It's a slightly different with the teams at the top, just nobody is taking the lead and said, yes, we are the best team. But yeah, who cares about all of these games starting, I mean, even in February? Normally, you have it where you're, okay, here we're deciding the league championship, these teams are shaping up, here are my top four seeds that I think will go through, have a chance to make it to the Final Four. You don't even have that, and there's really no interest watching the Big Ten, because, let's face it, Ohio State sealed it, I mean, technically only recently, but really, they've been the top team. There's been nobody else who's been too close. There's been some games that you'll watch. Wisconsin, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Purdue, Purdue, Ohio State. Those three. When they're playing, you watch those. Or if you're an alum or a fan, you'll watch. But other than that, like, I don't have you watched many games outside of the Big Ten?
Outside of the Big Ten, no. I mean, I'll catch. Sometimes I like watching. I really enjoy watching Big East basketball this year. I really do. The Big East.
You do have a crush on St. John's.
Well, I grew up watching St. John's, but the Big East in general. Usually, I'm not a huge fan of the Big East. Usually, I think they're completely overhyped. This year, if there's eight teams in the Elite Eight all from the Big East, it would not surprise me. I think the conference is that good this year. So I will watch Big East games if they are on, but not because I'm worried about bubble watch. Okay. And that's usually why I watch games. I'll go, oh, wow, that's got bubble watch implications. I'm definitely going to watch that. This year, I don't find myself doing that at all, nor do I find myself going on to ESPN.com or CNNSI or anything like that and going, because I'm a nerd. I'm a stat nerd. I like going on and I like saying who's got a shot, who's still got a chance, and so on and so forth. This year, I don't find myself doing that at all. And here's another interesting thing, and I want to get your opinion on this. To me, the conference championships are watered down because of this. Because when you talk Big East Conference Championship, Big Ten Conference Championship, all these conference championships, before you had teams that you said to yourself, they've got to win two games in their conference tournament to get into the NCAA tournament. I look at a team like Michigan State. I think if Michigan State beats Michigan, I think Michigan State could lose their first game in the tournament, and they'd still be firmly in the tournament.
Yes. And normally, I absolutely love conference tournaments because the last few years, I've gone down to Indy for the Big Ten, and I'll go out at night, whether it be with other media people or wherever, and we'll just watch every game that they have on. I mean, I remember, was it Syracuse-UConn, the 6-overtime game? That was the best game that I've seen in a long time. We're all watching.
Syracuse-Pitt had a game one year that went to a bunch of overtimes, the Brandon Knight and stuff.
I love seeing all those teams. Normally, I follow the teams a little bit more in just all the conferences. Right now, I don't care until maybe the semifinals of the Big 12. I'll watch Texas and Kansas if that one happens, or Kansas State. The other teams, I don't really care about. The SEC, I don't really care about. The Pac-10, I mean, I'll watch the final of that. That's all that I can guarantee.
Who cares? Unless Washington wins that tournament, it really does nobody any good. And so, you know, very interesting about the conference championships. When I was a senior in high school, I conveniently, I'm dead serious, I didn't fake or anything, I got the flu the week of conference championships. I can't believe my mom actually bought that I had the flu, because, you know, how convenient is that? And I watched every single game that week. If I were to get sick this week, or if I'm on spring break this week from Central Michigan, I'm not going to watch any of the conference championships unless I happen to be around, because the bubble implications were the reason for that. We're going to talk to Jeremy Sampson around 8:50. We'll talk some high school basketball, the playoffs kicking in. We'll also take your calls, 393-3700. If you got something to say about Michigan, Michigan State, we'll touch more on Michigan, Michigan State next. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.